Hello, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening to Mamingless, where we look into the spread of internet nonsense and try to understand what in the hell it all means. I am your humble host, Nate, and should I invite Bobby?
I mean, sure, why not?
You didn't say your line.
I didn't.
We had a bit, remember?
Nope. Don't remember. I'm sorry. You want to restart? Refresh my memory. Let's start over.
Too late. I'm in. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, I don't remember that. My memory is very bad.
Anyway, yeah. I've got a meme for you to look at. So, Bobby.
Yeah.
Discombobulated. Bobby Shark. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh, God.
I have a meme for you to look at. I have a meme for you to look at.
That's it. I'm done.
Thank you all so much for listening. No, I have a meme. You know, as soon as I put the Bobby Shark thing into the script, I'm like, she's going to hate that one.
Yep, you were right.
So I have a meme for you to look at, and I would like you to explain it to our listeners. Tell them what it looks like and how it reads.
I'll do my best. Uh-oh. Okay, so this is a Dan Clancy. Okay, I'm not familiar with that person. Anyway, Dan Clancy looks like he's sitting on the Simpsons bus, and it's underneath him. It says, Chuckles. You're in danger.
All right. So this is a meme that some listeners may recognize right away. The format of this meme, it is based on the Simpsons Family Guy crossover episode where Ralph Wiggum is on a bus and the bus is about to crash. And in typical Ralph Wiggum fashion, he giggles and says, I'm in danger. So, you know, clearly blissfully unaware of what being in danger means, but recognizing that there's danger. Because of this kind of juxtaposition between the reaction and the situation, this meme is often used by people who don't realize what kind of trouble that they're in or seem to not take their situation too seriously. Now, the difference here is instead of saying, I'm in danger, Dan Clancy says, you're in danger.
Right.
And there is a reason for that. And I think it'll become clear by the end of this episode.
Okay.
Now, I have another image for you to look at. This one, you won't have to describe to people. I'll just kind of explain what it is. So, that image is of a Twitch streamer known as Emeru. And she is, you know, looking a little bit angry with her finger up in the air. This image has become kind of iconic because of a situation that happened in October last year that I will explain here shortly. But before we get too into the weeds here, I do want to preface that researching this episode began with the girl in the picture back in October last year. But what I ended up finding was a cavalcade of bullshit. We will be talking about this girl and what happened to her, but the real episode will be the bullshit we find along the way. So, the girl in this image is Emily Beth Shunk, a Twitch streamer better known by her online handle, Emeru. Her fans often refer to her as Emmy for short. I am not a fan, and accordingly, for simplicity, I'm just going to refer to her as Emily going forward. This image of Emily is a still from a video taken after an infuriating event that occurred at TwitchCon 2025 on October 17th. Bobby, I'm going to show you a video of what happened, and I would like you to do your best to narrate it for our listeners.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay, let's see. We got a group of people. This is TwitchCon, you said?
Yep.
Okay, there's some people on stage, it looks like. What? He just... Was he trying to kiss her? What was he doing?
Yeah, yeah.
This guy just came up and tried to kiss this girl on... Was that Emmy?
That was Emmy, yeah. This video was posted on Twitter by user Bacon Crumbs on the day that this event happened. It was at about 8:21 p.m. This was posted. It depicts Emily about 20 to 30 minutes into her meet and greet when a large man approaches very quickly and appears to try to kiss her. She pulls away from this assault. Then a security guard shoves the man out of the way and walks him away from Emily as she appears to be shaken by the situation. Yeah. She is then walked backstage by another woman. There are some very glaring and obvious problems with the situation. Primarily, how is this man able to cross the barrier and get to this girl? How was he allowed to walk past the line of fans with his aggressive gait? As Emily later put it, he was like walking with a purpose. Regardless of how you look at it, and regardless of the details going forward, this is a major fuck up by Twitch. This is a major fuck up by the event, and this is a major fuck up by the staff and by the security that should have stopped this from happening. There are many reasons besides the obvious why this is such an inexcusable situation. We will be addressing many of the mistakes and missteps by Twitch and the con staff, but seeing as a lot of that has already been covered ad nauseum by other videos, what I will be mostly focusing on is how much misinformation and intentional bullshit was spread as things unfolded. And, like diarrhea on parchment paper, the shit spread quickly. Some... Almost immediately, a response showed up in the comments, and it was showing this video, and I would like you to describe this one as you're seeing it.
Okay, so we're back at TwitchCon. He just pulled... It looks like he pulled out a pocket knife or something. I can't tell what he's pulling out. No. I don't know. It looks like a weapon of some kind. Or, I don't know. It's a bad video.
Yeah. So
but he's definitely pulling something out. Looking at it in a threatening manner.
Yeah. So a user posted this zoomed in and slowed down clip of the video. And of course, people started talking about how the guy had a knife.
Yeah.
If you watch the video closely, it appears that the guy did not have a knife and that he actually took the pen from Emily.
Oh, the pen. Okay.
So he took the pen that she had with her out of her hand as he tried to kiss her.
Oh, okay.
Of course, the person who shared this video shared it with this inquisitive emoji. He's not saying what the man's holding, but the implication that it's a weapon is obvious.
Well, it looked like it, yeah.
Presumably, the person who posted this video is the one who edited the clip, since I didn't see it anywhere else, and it was on the comments of the original posting of the video. I find it difficult to imagine that this person could have edited this clip without noticing that this is unlikely to be a weapon. I'm using some speculation when I say this, but I have to imagine that this clip was made and posted purely for engagement bait, and that the person posting it fucking knew the item being held by the assailant was innocuous. This kind of irresponsible playing around with the situation, acting intentionally ignorant about what's happening in the video, does nobody any good and only muddies the waters of an unfolding situation. There is no indication that the assailant was carrying a weapon. And at the time that all this was posted, no law enforcement, including the San Diego Police Department, had put out any statement, and neither Twitch nor the venue had put out any statement of arrest. But, Bobby, the internet is 10 times faster than the police. Yeah. And as we know doing this show, the internet is also right 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah, never fails.
Yeah, I don't know why we even have a podcast. In fact, internet sleuths knew who the assailant was. A rumor that a bodyguard for musician David Anthony Burke, known as D4VD, this musician, apparently his bodyguard was arrested shortly after the assault took place. Most outlets that were covering this avoided mentioning this bodyguard when talking about the sexual assault on Emily. However, some articles did mention the timing of the bodyguard's arrest without assuming a definite connection to Emily's situation. So I'm not going to go too into the details of this because this led me to another rabbit hole that will end up being its own episode that's not actually related to this situation.
Okay.
But the guy who supposedly got arrested, not only was he not arrested, but he was attending a basketball game or at least talking about it later on, seeming to be completely unaware that he just assaulted somebody. Mm. And after Twitch had put out the statement saying that the aggressor was banned from the platform, and yeah, I am saying banned from the platform. We'll circle back to that.
Okay.
His Twitch account was still active after this situation. Now, this guy, his name is Marky Nextdoor. He goes by Marky Nextdoor.
Okay.
And he was at TwitchCon at the time in question. But first off, Marky Nextdoor was not the person in the video. Okay. He was not arrested. And some of the news outlets, and I put that in quotes, news outlets, changed the wording to say that that Marky was questioned by police after. Mm. Now, if he were David's bodyguard, he may be questioned about a situation wherein a girl close to David was found dead in the frunk of his Tesla.
Hmm.
Yeah, so maybe police were questioning him about that.
Maybe.
Yeah. The problem, though, is that Marky's not David's bodyguard. And at the time of the event of that girl being found, he had never even heard of David. Some people on the internet ended up connecting him as David's bodyguard, which has is no there's no basis in fact regarding that. And for some reason, people are trying to implicate him in this as well. Now, despite the fact, despite all this information being very easily available, essentially somebody found that Marky noticed that Marky and this guy had similar builds, and they thought that they could spread a rumor. And because internet, it worked. Like I said, I later found on some online publications that Marky had been questioned by police after the assault. And after a while, the language in these pages changed in ways to make the police questioning and the assault on Emily seem even less related. But both events were still included in the same body text, almost suggesting that he was somehow involved in this assault. Mm-hmm. He was not. First, he wasn't banned from the platform. It was still his account was still active. Right. Second, he's tweeting about attending a basketball game, so he's not arrested at least, and probably seems a little carefree for somebody who was just questioned by the police. And three, he and the assailant don't even look like the same person. They just have similar builds, and this jackass thought he could start a rumor. And like I said, because internet, it worked.
Right.
So I decided to look into who David was and Marky and find out what that whole deal was. I ended up, that is an entire can of worms we do not have time for right now. During the assault on Emily, it is frustrating that the person was able to get past the barrier and circumnavigate the entire line of people without having been stopped by Twitch security. Furthermore, this person passed through another streamer's meet and greet on his way to Emily. But as we can see in the video, at least Twitch security got him away from her in the end, right?
Yeah.
No. That was actually Emily's own personal security guard who she brought herself.
Oh.
And the woman who walked her backstage was not Twitch, which was not TwitchCon staff either. That was another one of her people. Furthermore, even after this event happened, during which she actually started screaming, by the way, the guy who assaulted her was able to walk away without any TwitchCon staff noticing.
Oh my God, they just let him get out of there.
Yep. So according to Emily's manager, staff returned to the area laughing about how they didn't even see what happened. And then they proceeded to start talking to each other about something completely unrelated, as if this breach in security wasn't even anything to be concerned about.
Okay, fire all those people.
Yeah, no fucking kidding. Even though according to their post on X, Twitch says, "The safety and security of all those attending TwitchCon is our highest priority."
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe they mean the safety of the attendees and not necessarily the guests, but at least Emily had her favorite bodyguard with her, right?
Oh, that's good.
Actually, she didn't.
No, well, she had somebody more reliable than the Twitch people.
That's true, but there's a little bit of an issue with her favorite bodyguard.
Uh-oh.
The reason that she didn't have her favorite bodyguard with her is that at a past TwitchCon in Las Vegas, a stalker showed up. Her favorite bodyguard intercepted and held the stalker's arm until police were able to get there and take over.
Mm-hmm.
According to Emily, her bodyguard was permanently banned from all future TwitchCons for holding the attendee's arm.
Mm.
Yeah.
For doing his job?
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. Look, above all, they prioritize the safety of all those attending, especially poor innocent stalkers.
Was the stalker injured in any way? Like, did the arm
not as far as I not as far as I can find out. No.
Oh my God.
This dedication to attendee safety is probably why in October of 2022 they had a big foam pit with raised platforms, and the TwitchCon staff was encouraging attendees to fall and jump into. Many people posted on social media about minor injuries that they had incurred. Mm. You know, all fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
Until one streamer at the event jumped into the pit and broke her back in two places.
Oh my God.
She found out at the hospital that she was pregnant and couldn't keep the baby because of the surgery she had to undergo.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's it.
Can you imagine you go to this place to have a good time and then all of a sudden you break your back and you lose a baby?
Yep.
Thanks. Yeah. That was a great day.
Yeah, dedication to safety. Here. Now, all right.
Gosh.
To be fair to Twitch, maybe they were too distracted because 2022 was an eventful year for them.
Mm.
That was the same year that Bloomberg posted their article titled, "Child Predators Use Twitch to Systematically Track Kids Live Streaming," with the subtext, The gaming platform's design enables people to find and exploit kids in real time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now, I will spare the listeners the awful details, but if you want to get nauseously furious, just read this exceedingly disturbing article. The point is that safety has been an ongoing issue with Twitch, and lessons have been slow to learn. Emily has been streaming on Twitch for 10 years and has been at TwitchCon since they started, and Twitch couldn't manage to protect her at a meet and greet that they helped facilitate. There are over 7 million active streamers on Twitch each month, and Emeru is ranked as being among the top 35, and it is far past time that platforms like Twitch recognize that they have minor celebrities on their hands. When there is that much exposure to that many people, there are going to be some unhinged individuals with problematic parasocial thought patterns. And as Emily expresses in her initial statements about the event, she was one of the top 10 or even top 5 creators in attendance, and they didn't keep her safe. It was thanks to her own security that she pays for that the assailant was dissuaded from going further. And the only reason she was saved was because she has the resources to provide that for herself. And the only reason in her eyes that Twitch did anything or made any statements about it was because one of the people waiting in line to meet her recorded it and the video went viral.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's a PR situation, so all of a sudden, they care.
Yeah, now they care, yeah.
She asks, what about the smaller streamers who do not have those kinds of eyes on them? Who may or may not have had anybody recording that situation. How many times has this or something worse happened to one of them and the public never got to know? And it's not only that she was not provided safety, but that Twitch doesn't even seem to recognize how important that is.
Yeah.
The guy got to walk away from that moment, at that moment, and staff didn't even seem to give a shit. Emily went back out and continued her meet and greet, which is incredible, but she found herself out there apologizing to those waiting to meet her that they had to see what had happened.
Yeah.
And TwitchCon staff was still not around. And no, they weren't busy apprehending the suspect. She got back to the hotel and was told by her manager that police were going to come and talk to her about what happened and that they still didn't know who the guy was or where he went. Now, when Twitch staff did address the assaulter, when talking to Emeru's manager, they said, he's banned from the platform for 30 days.
Okay. The guy that they don't know any idea who he is? Well, they're going to ban that guy?
Well, when they did finally address who he was, or allegedly addressed who he was, he's banned from the Twitch platform for 30 days.
That'll help.
Yeah. Now, remember what happened to that bodyguard who held the stalker's arm to make sure the police could apprehend him in order to keep the streamer safe? What happened to him again? Oh, yeah, he was permanently banned from all TwitchCon events.
Okay.
It was addressing this exact thing when Emily became very animated in her video and what led to that viral image that I showed you of her looking very angry at that table.
Yeah.
And, of course, when an image becomes iconic, everyone wants to use it to make their own assertions. Like at Grums on Twitter, who posted, this is the exact moment Emeru gets red-pilled. Just wait and see. Being red-pilled is, of course, a reference to The Matrix, and this phrase is used by right-wing netizens to indicate that they have seen through the supposed illusion created by an online world controlled by the left, leading to support among young people, particularly for Donald Trump. Of course, the general sentiment in response to this nonsensical post was doubt that getting sexually assaulted would lead a girl to join a group of women-hating incels in support of a president who was found liable for rape and is generally disgusting toward women. At first, I brushed this off as some imbecile who wanted to look cool among right-wing ex-posters and just had a really bad take. There's a bit of a phenomenon that I run into a lot when I'm looking at the online behavior in response to something viral. They kind of clumsily shoehorn their unrelated opinions into something. And I kind of thought that that's just what Grums was doing, was kind of shoehorning something in that he wanted to say that really didn't make any logical sense.
Okay.
But after further reading, I realized that this Grums guy was likely posting a type of deceitful nonsense that I like to call hot bullshit. So this tactic is similar to when charlatans pretend to be psychics or claiming that they can communicate with the dead. A couple of tactics they use are cold reading and hot reading. Cold reading is using verbal and psychological trickery to convince somebody that you know something that you don't, whereas hot reading is finding out some information about your target beforehand without the target knowing and pretending to use your special abilities to have accessed that information in the moment. But rather than claiming to have a superpower, hot bullshitters are setting themselves up to look as if they predicted something through seemingly unrelated events. The more unrelated, the better. Because if you can predict an outcome based on a really unlikely connection, you can appear to be in tune with something that no one else understands. With hot bullshit, you make a prediction based on something you already know and pretend to have deduced it in the moment. The thing that made me suspicious that Grums was engaging in this kind of attempted trickery was that I was reading into who Emeru was, and I found that she works for OTK, a media company formed partially by a very vocal right-winger named Zachariah Hoyt, who goes by the handle Asmongold. If you haven't seen his streams, you aren't missing much. I watched some of them for this episode, and it's mostly just him spouting out knee-jerk reactions to things and having a far-right circle jerk with his audience, occasionally getting into spats with dissenters and saying things like, "I didn't say that. When did I say that? You tell me, when did I say that?" rather than engaging the actual substance of the conversation at hand. He is, at best, a whiny little debate me bro, and at worst, a gross human being who is in support of ICE protesters being ran over by vehicles, having live ammunition used on them, and being put into forced slavery. Emily, until recently, collaborated with Hoyt regularly, and they appeared to be friends. Someone aware of this connection could be inclined to predict that some of Hoyt's right-wing beliefs have been rubbing off onto Emily, and now that she, as she says herself, is being uncharacteristically vocal about a situation, maybe some of her political beliefs will come to the surface, and Grums can look like he predicted it from this controversial moment. Mm. I decided to look into this Grums guy, and he definitely is aware of who Asmongold is, because I was trying to figure out, like, would he be aware of who Asmongold is, and would he know about Emily's connection to him? And I didn't have to look very far. I'm going to show you something.
Okay.
So I'm on his page right now. Mm-hmm. If I search his posts for Asmongold, I want you to explain what you're seeing here. This is just his posts.
Okay.
And this is ones that contain Asmongold's name.
Oh, wow. Looks like there's a couple of them up there. And he's still scrolling. Yeah, still scrolling.
It's still loading.
It's loading. Okay, here we go. Yep, still going. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, I could scroll forever and this would just keep going.
I think he might know who this person is.
Yeah, I think maybe he's aware of the people and probably aware of Emily's connection to him.
Probably.
This dude is very much aware of who Asmongold is. Posting his shit on Twitter so fucking much, you might as well be an Asmongold Mirror account. I'm about to stop referring to this dude as Grums because he is actually somebody. This is the Twitter account from Mark Kern. He worked for a video game company called Blizzard from 1997 to 2005 and was team lead during the development of World of Warcraft.
Wow.
Kern desperately wants to be seen as a genius, and while researching this episode, I saw rando accounts with no real history calling him a genius and immediately getting accused of being Mark Kern's burner accounts. I don't know if they really were his burner accounts, but that was my first thought, when I saw him.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like it, yeah.
So, yeah, Kern is peddling out some hot bullshit and hoping that no one sees through it so he can look like a smart little boy. A smart little boy who may or may not look like it, but he's in his 50s. And I don't know his exact date of birth, but Mark, if you're listening, April 29th? Am I close? Anyway, reading into Kern was an entirely different rabbit hole. And I have a feeling he's going to come up later on in our show. Mm-hmm. Not in this episode, but in a later episode, because he's not quiet. Now, regarding this incident involving Emily, later, presumably after Emily's manager made it clear how absurd this was, Twitch finally put out a statement saying that the assaulter was permanently banned from the online platform and from all future Twitch cons. That should have fucking been done in the first place. He fucking assaulted somebody.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, he may not have been like a violent intention, but the guy clearly has an issue and he violated somebody's space.
Yeah, he crossed the line.
Definitely. Now, this handling of this situation is reflective of how unserious Twitch seems to take their responsibility as a platform. And many believe that this lackadaisical shit rolls downhill all the way from their CEO, Dan Clancy. Mm-hmm. His handling of this situation early on was pathetic, was ridiculous. And it's honestly further embarrassing knowing that he worked, he had very important jobs for NASA and Google, and he oversaw the like product leads for YouTube as well. So he's familiar with online platforms. He worked for NASA, he worked for Google, he worked for Nextdoor. He clearly should have handled this better.
Yeah.
But he kind of came out looking like a jackass. Now, he has changed up his tone a little bit since then. And he has openly admitted to the fact that they fucked up. They fucked up really bad, both in their handling the situation, allowing the situation to happen in the first place, and their response to it. And I agree with all that. But he has to say that at this point. I think it's a little too late, but with this situation with this guy, according to her, that guy was able to leave the state before they found out who he was.
Oh my God.
Or before they were able to stop him. Yeah. And she said that Twitch is not releasing the name of this person, but she kind of made it sound like they're not releasing the name of this person to the police, which doesn't sound realistic to me. I mean, that seems like something not a battle not worth having, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not exactly sure. The thing is, things get a little muddy pretty quickly after the situation. Emily didn't want to bring it to court because she said a lot of things end up having to be under wraps and have to be under NDAs and things like that. And she'd rather not have to have everything be private and just be done with the situation. So rather than suing Twitch, she asked that they donate $100,000 to women's violence, violence awareness against women, that kind of thing. She has also accused her ex-boyfriend and ex-coworker, Ms. Kiff, of assault, sexual assault, and of abusing her. The sort of mental abuse that it sounds like she went through, it's nothing to scoff at for sure. And it, like, he sounds like the way that she describes him makes him sound like he's a bit emotionally unhinged. There was a lot of him throwing fits essentially because she was getting more attention than he was on live streams and having more people, watch her than him. And that's pathetic, that's a ridiculous behavior. Yeah. But when she starts to describe and I'm not going to describe it in detail, but when she describes the sexual assault or what she calls a sexual assault, it sounds more like a miscommunication, and because essentially he approached her while she was crying and he got some mixed signals and tried to be affectionate with her. They dated for a long time, and when she was surprised and put off by this, he immediately stopped, said he felt like he did something really wrong, and then left because he suddenly felt like that was unwanted. And that, to me, and this is in her own words, and to me that sounds like he didn't realize that it was unwanted until that moment,
right?
And that he felt terrible for it and he left. And that's listening to her own story, but she does describe it as it had happened, and gives all those details. She doesn't seem to try to embellish it or change it in any sort of way, but her describing it as a sexual assault, I think, is not really careful with her wording. Yeah. And maybe to her it did feel like an assault. And so I think that it is a mistake for her to call it that. But she has taken back the term sexual assault, or at least according to her lawyer, it is not accusing Ms. Kiff of sexual assault, but sexual assault as she perceived it. Mm-hmm. And I watched a little bit of Ms. Kiff's live stream responding to this, and he gets very emotional. He actually did. He cried and everything when she took that accusation back, and I think that he had been waiting for something like that. But he's also, he's very angry, and in his emotions, I think he's being uncareful now, because now he's saying that she deserves jail time and all this stuff, and I'm like... I'm like, okay, well, she said it exactly as it happened. She didn't, accuse you of anything completely untrue. Right. At least it doesn't sound like it. But since this is, an ongoing and unfolding situation, I don't want to comment on it too much. But I do think that he needs to maybe stop and think a little bit to how he responds to this. And I think that she was definitely too quick to call that a sexual assault. between her and him. Because that was, I think, a misunderstanding. What happened to her at TwitchCon, I do call that a sexual assault.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, that is absolutely, that is putting your hands on a fucking stranger. Like, that is...
That's not okay.
Yeah, that's insane. And I, Ms. Kiff, like, he doesn't strike me as the brightest person, and he doesn't strike me as the most in tune to other people's feelings. Mm-hmm. And so... I think he could have easily made a mistake like that. I think he's somebody who gets emotional very easily. And I think he might have been caught up in the feeling of maybe thinking that he could get her back and that that was what was happening there. If maybe she was, you know, responding positively to him being giving her a hug, you know, and maybe thought he could, you know, thought he was taking it to the next step or whatever. Like, I'm not exactly sure what happened moment to moment, but I could see him making this mistake.
Yeah.
Getting caught up in his emotions rather than his logic a little bit, you know. So I think that he needs to take a moment and breathe before he starts saying that Emily should be in jail.
Yeah.
That being said, he is trying to sue her and Asmongold for defamation because Asmongold is calling him an abuser and all these things and all these names and stuff. And Asmongold is also... He's a provocateur a little bit, so he does try to get a rise out of things. So he's also somebody who's, like, quick to make an accusation or, you know, he's the one who said that he thinks that ICE protesters should be ran over and live ammunition used on them and things.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in context, if you want to put it in context, he says that he's not morally against them being run over. But, and his reasoning, okay, if Asmongold wants to get, you know, get technical about this, I will put it in the context of what exactly he said. His reasoning for why you shouldn't run them over is because you could injure them, and then they can't be used for forced labor in their prisons.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, real stand-up guy, this Asmongold shithead. Great. So, yeah, no, he's a real fucking asshole. But when it comes to Ms. Kiff's, like, anger and his emotional outbursts and things, I think that he probably did put Emily through a lot of stress that he should not have done.
Yeah.
That the sexual assault moment, the way she described it in her own words, I think it was just a mistake.
Yeah, it happens.
So, yeah. I don't want to say anything definitive, but that's what it sounds like to me, just based on her own words. So during Ms. Kiff's live stream, he was talking about, he has pulled up on the screen moments where he's reading the lawyer's response, and it says, taking the whole context of Shunk's statement into account, as the court is required to do, the situation, it compares it to another situation, the way they're trying to use, in the defamation suit, they're trying to use precedent against her. And so they're trying to differentiate it from that situation. And, but the lawyer says, like, essentially the substance of this is that Shunk describes exactly what happened. And to her, although she defines it as sexual assault, a reasonable viewer would unquestionably understand that the term is her own description of what happened. The viewer is not left to guess the nature of the assault based solely on the term sexual assault. Because she did give the details. Mm-hmm. She did explain everything. So it's not as if she is... just said he sexually assaulted me and left it at that.
Right.
She gave the details, and in my own interpretation, hearing what she said, I think it was a mistake. I don't think he was trying to assault her.
Right.
But he is understandably very pissed.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's absurd to say she needs jail time.
maybe a bit far, yeah.
Yeah. But this is something idiotic. My favorite thing in the world is... legal counsel from the Peanut Gallery.
Oh, yeah.
So one person in the stream in the comments said, such horse shit. And another person says, is this lawyer crazy? This is insane. One person said, there's no way this holds up in court, especially not in Texas. And like, it's like, well, no, this lawyer is actually making a good argument against the use of precedent in this case. Yeah. Like it's a decent argument. Now, when it comes to the legal ramifications against the person who assaulted her at TwitchCon, there were some legal breakdowns of this. I think Legal Eagle did a video on it, and I think some other lawyers responded for, you know, when they were questioned as experts in these types of situations. And technically, what happened, what was done to her at TwitchCon cannot be considered to be like a sexual assault wherein like an intimate part of her was violated, because technically in California, the lips aren't considered an intimate place. So there's a bit of a, it doesn't totally fit the legal definition in the state of California. I would still call it a sexual assault because I think it was sexually driven, you know. I would still call it that. And then, you know, this is a case wherein my definition of what happened is sexual assault.
Right.
We all saw what happened. We know what happened. It's not as if I'm saying the guy sexually assaulted her and leaving it at that. Mm. You know, there's a video of it. We know what happened. He tried to kiss her. He's a stranger. He fucking went past a lot of people to do it too. Yeah. And that's fucking weird. I mean,
she clearly didn't want him to.
Yeah. And like, I mean, what on earth? Like, you, I mean, that's unhinged in my opinion.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, anyway, what do you think, Bobby?
I think if Twitch had better security, a lot of this would have been avoided.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's like they don't realize that these people are famous in a way, you know. I mean, they may not be movie stars, but a lot of people know who Emiru is, and you know, they need to protect these people. If they're going to have this big crowd, they need to do something about
it. Yeah, yeah. You're inviting people who watch live streamers play video games like at insane lengths. People stream for hours, you know, and some of these people will stick around for those whole streams. And when you build a big crowd of people who do that, who watch you do that. Yeah. They're not all going to be the most, there's going to be some who are pretty socially inept, to say the least. Well, and there's going to be some.
Do you ever read the comments in these things as they're going? Like, people put some weird shit in there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I remember, very worrisome.
I remember when I used to do live streaming, there was a girl who said she wanted to kidnap me and keep me in her grandparents' basement.
Uh-huh. And hopefully she was joking, but well, you don't know that she was.
You know, the thing is that my chat like tore into her.
Oh yeah.
they tore into her bad, and she apologized, and I stayed out of it. I'm like, I'm not engaging, like, but yeah, no, it's it's a weird world. The online world's a weird world. And when you're exposed to that much, you know, like when you've got millions of people who watch you, there's going to be some weirdos. And so like the fact that Twitch doesn't take that into account is nuts, right? I mean,
I would think so. Yeah.
And like one of her stalkers showed up at a past TwitchCon. I'm sure that's probably a regular thing for her. Cause like, especially with girls, you know, young girls, like that, you get those kinds of people who obsess over them. And it's, you know, it's a, like you're in a difficult territory. And the fact that their CEO, who's worked for major companies before and had huge responsibilities in the past, he couldn't handle this. It's ridiculous. But like, how can there be that big of a fuck up? And for this long, Twitch has been around for a long time. They're not a brand new company, you know, and they've been doing these Twitch cons for a long time too. And you've got these people who are essentially being treated like celebrities. I mean, people don't stand in line to just meet whoever. They're going to be, there are people who know who she is. And so you're going to get some weirdos.
Oh, definitely. You know?
And the fact that it took this to have them do anything about it. And like she asks herself, she says, like, you know, how many times has this happened and we just didn't hear about it? Because it happened to somebody who didn't have the eyes on them. They didn't have anybody recording the situation, you know, and so Twitch thought they'd just not do anything about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a cost-saving measure or what they think they're doing, but...
Probably.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.